Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
All right. Well, good morning. Good to see you here this morning. Looking around and see some usual faces, lovely usual faces, and some of those lovely faces that have just come to be with us today. You know, when somebody comes and visits, if you think about that, what a gift that is. Very often, they're coming into a building they've never been to be amongst people that they have never been with ever before. Just cold turkey, cold call, and yet something's in their heart, and that should just give us a testimony that, you know, the Lord is drawing and speaking, and we're honored that you're here with us today. And a word to us at Vision Church is that we need to take that very seriously and be the very best host and hosts. Be the host and hostess with the mostest, right? And so that people feel welcome and just let that agape love come out. You know, just this last week, you can find God in a spelling bee. How many of you know that can happen? Just this last week, first of all, we had number one, number two, number three, best spellers in the whole world, Scripps Howard Spelling Bee, number one, two, and three from North Texas, all Texans. Secondly, the winning word was a word that belongs to the church. Koinonia. Koinonia was the winning spelling bee word in the United States of America. I think the Spirit of God's up to something. Even in the Scripps Howard Spelling Bee. By an Indian, a native from India who has become an American citizen and their child. And they're just learning English and spelling the words like crazy. And they win on Koinonia. I just think the Lord's up to something in North Texas, don't you? And that is that fellowship and love that is experienced in the context of the body of Christ. Amen. 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 Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of John. Here we are on Mission Sunday. And we're hearing this theme of the battle belongs to the Lord. And we hear this expression by the apostle Paul as he said, "We wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against principalities and wickedness." And he goes on and makes these descriptions in the book of Ephesians. This is just totally bonus material, just kind of an introductory material. And we have to have a sense that we have to look up, that we have to realize there's something going on above us. There's something going on around us that we typically are not sensitive to, that we are not seeing. But thanks be to God, He has given us His Word, and He has placed within the body of Christ and the gifts of people and certain gifts and operations of the Spirit that can help us to connect with the reality of what's going above and beyond us. Out in this, what's called a cosmos, out in the world around us, you know what? It's more than just us. Turn to your neighbor and say, you know, it's more than just about me and you. Saying it's more than what we can see. It's more than what we can hear. And it's more than we can understand. There's something more. I'm so glad you're at Vision Church this morning, because we're a church that believes that when we, in the context of our name, this idea of vision is to be able to see something. In fact, we're right next to a vision clinic. And in his back, over his back door, he has that, he has a plaque that says vision. I know why that's there. Because the back door leads to our parking lot. And the optometrist there counts this as his church, and we're his people, and I'm his pastor. He chooses, at least he's, when I'm around, I hear him say, "That's my pastor." And so I'm grateful to have that connection. And I just tell him that. I said, "Look, if they come here and they need their physical eyes fixed, I'm going to refer them to you. But if you see that their spiritual eyes need some addressing, send them over." We're a people that believe that God is in the business of adjusting our spirits and bringing spiritual sight. In fact, He taught that He brought sight to the blind. Isn't that powerful? That's awesome when it happens physically, but it's even more awesome when someone who could not see now says, "I can see." Now, here in the book of John, chapter 3, I want to read to you these first couple verses. I believe it's 1 through 10. And then we're going to go back to Genesis, the book of the beginning, in the second chapter, and then over we're going to read something out of Matthew 15. You can look along with me as I read. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council, and he came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him. And in reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth, no one can see. Everybody say see. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again or born from above. Everybody say born again. How can a man be born when he is old? Nicodemus asked. Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. And all the ladies say to him, amen. Hallelujah. And Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, no one can enter, everybody say enter, enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. Now, if Jesus says you must do something, something's absolutely critical. Something's absolutely critical. He's not kidding around here. You must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases you. Everybody say hear. Hear its sound. But you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. Born from above, born again, born of the Spirit. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. Now, didn't Jesus have an amazing way of asking questions that just totally bumfuzzled people? How can this be? Now, Jesus is not in the business of simply stumping people. Jesus asks questions so that people might have revealed what is in their heart and can realize the distance between where they are and where they need to be. He asks questions to see what it is that the Holy Spirit is up to in people's lives. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. You are Israel's teacher, said Jesus, and do you not, everybody say, understand? Understand these things? Let me look back to Genesis chapter 2 now. Laying in some foundation of the Word. Genesis chapter 2, verses 7 through 17. And I'm going to skip a few verses that talk about gold and so on and so forth. All the ladies can just right now say, oh. Right, verse number 7. The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east, in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. And the Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then we'll move down to verse number 15. The Lord God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die. So God spoke that to Adam, which meant that he heard it. He saw the garden. He saw the trees. It was good to the eye. And he heard the word of the Lord. You must not eat from it. And then he goes on to make for man a helpmeet. And then we can move on into the third chapter. And he talks about their eyes being opened and their ears hearing the serpent. Now finally, Matthew chapter 15. We there? Is that Matthew 15? Is that correct, brother? If you'll bring that up, bring up that Matthew verse 13. That's why. That's why it's not in my Bible, because it's in the 13th chapter, not the 15th chapter. I thought I had a defective Bible up here, but I'm glad to know it's not. But the 13th chapter has this. Matthew 13, 13. Boy, that kind of sounds ominous, doesn't it? Ooh. Woo! This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but you'll be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become callous. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. So, Lord, we bow before you. We've just laid your word out here, and we're asking, Holy Spirit, we're just recognizing, boy, do we need your help. You are the one who comes and leads and guides into all truth. We're just asking over these next few moments, we need to look up. We need to lift up our heads. We need to realize there's more going on around us, and we need so much more than we think we do. But you are here to bring to us everything that we have need of. Your grace is enough. The battle belongs to you. You are the mighty one. You are the strong one. You are able to save. You are able to reveal. You are able to counsel with our hearts. And so what we're going to do, Lord, is we're going to invite you right now and say, would you, I invite you, Lord, I make you welcome. And would you come in and would you have a conversation with me? Would you stir my heart? Would you open up my understanding? Would you speak into my ear? Would you help me to see something, Lord, that you would have me to get today? And we ask that in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. There's an interesting thing that's going on here in the book of Genesis that's reiterated in the way that Jesus approaches Nicodemus in the third chapter of John, and it's just consistent throughout Scripture. We could just go on and on and on, and just with the wonders of the internet, with the wonders of Bible on digital media, where you can go through and do word searches and root word meanings and so on and so forth, you just begin to connect. And you just get this long string of pearl that moves right all the way through the Scripture as over and over and over you begin to pick up on something that God is doing. Now, there are three things that we see in the parable of the soil as Jesus talks about the prophecy of Isaiah. We see it in the life of Adam and Eve, and we see it in when Jesus is approaching Nicodemus, and that's this idea: seeing, hearing, and understanding. Seeing, hearing, and understanding. Now, along with that, consider this. The speed of light, the speed of sound, and the speed of instruction and comprehension. I'm just curious, how many teachers do I have in the room? You know what the greatest struggle for a teacher is? Is how incredibly slow the speed of comprehension is. They have to be patient people because they realize that it takes a lot of effort front-loading on what people see and people hear until they get it. They sit there looking at you, nodding your head in class, in church, wherever it might be in the context of being taught. And then when the test comes, it's like you never opened your mouth and told them anything. Now, Jesus experienced this with his disciples. Listen very carefully in the Gospels as he from time to time utters this phrase, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you do not understand?" Jesus, from time to time, this will mess with you now, was frustrated with the speed of understanding. Now, how many of you would believe that if Jesus spent 3 straight years with you, walking everywhere, visible, you could see him, hear his voice, follow him, eat with him, walk with him? I mean, go to the mikveh bath by the temple, right by his side. You saw him, everything he did. You saw him do everything he did. Watched him heal, raise the dead, open blind eyes, speak in the synagogue. You heard him for 3 years. That after 3 years, how many of you think you could have a master's degree in following Jesus? Right? Read your New Testament. After that intense thing that happened in their life, Jesus says, "Have I been with you this long, and yet you don't understand?" Now, what does Jesus know? Understanding is a function of the help of the Holy Spirit. And in fact, Paul says, the natural, everybody say natural, the natural man cannot comprehend the things of God, but they are revealed. They are revealed. Wow. So we have 3 speeds that we're looking at. Some people have 2 speeds, slow and dead stop. Right? Some are saying, yeah, I'm going to get that printed on my coffee cup if I ever get around to picking it up. Right? Slow, dead stop. But there are 3 speeds that we can see that are functioning in our lives. The speed of light, the speed of sound, and the speed of instruction and comprehension. Now, the speed of instruction can go very quickly, but we're really talking about the speed of comprehension, getting it, right? So everybody say, getting it, Pastor. Yeah, okay, all right. Made me feel better. The speed limit has just gone up, but you know, when I like to measure things. I'm always aware of the speed. My wife can turn to me and say at any time, how long till you think we get there? And I say, well, according to the present traffic pattern, we should arrive at 3:29. She looks at me like, nobody could know that. You're guessing, you know. Then she secretly prays for traffic jams. You know, and there is no more triumphant feeling than to pull up 75.4 miles away in front of a destination and go, look at the time. Ha! 3:29. Huh? Huh? So, I like to measure things. I like to be aware of what's going on. So, when I'm on the internet, I have a device. I look on my phone. What's the speed? All right, you want to see a smile on my face? 100 megabits per second. You want to see a frown? You want to see a frowny face? 5.7 megabits per second. Who's stealing my signal? What's going on here? It's time for a reboot. And then I go over, warn everybody. Hey, the internet's going down. Be ready. Get your blankie and your pacifier, whatever it's going to take. It's going down for 5 minutes. You all hold in there. And then pull the plug, reset it, and I check it again. 78.7 megabits per second. All it took was a hard reboot. So we like that. We like that internet speed. We like to be able to go at a high rate of speed. We go on the express lane, pay a little bit extra so we can do. They knew how to incentivize us. 75 mile an hour for 5 stinking more mile an hour. We can pay $1.95. So we do it, because it's just a little bit. So this idea of the speed of light, the speed of sound, and the speed of comprehension. Speed of sound, you know, you can be off at a distance and you can see something happen, and then it's a time until you hear it. They talk about those fabled snipers of World War II and even later that were able to do their job from not hundreds but thousands of yards away. And by the time the shot was heard, its effects had been felt a significant time before. No time to react because of the differential between the speed of light and the speed of sound. Sound travels very quickly, but light travels much faster. What our eyes perceive is the speed of light. What our ears perceive is the speed of sound. And what our hearts perceive is the speed of understanding. So when Jesus is dealing with Nicodemus, notice he talks about the fact that we need to become born again. And he's saying that what this is about is not something your eyes can get, your ears can get, or your heart can understand on its own. Do you understand the predicament of the unconverted person? Christianity doesn't look right, doesn't sound right, and in no regard seems right as a mode of living. It makes no sense to the ears, to the eyes, and to the heart. And so some of us are sitting there saying, boy, do we have a tough task. We're called to live in a kingdom that no one can see, to serve a God no one can see, to walk about with a faith in Jesus that we celebrated and marked the remembrance of his death that occurred 2,000 trips around the sun ago in a land that most of us in this room will not, this side of glory, put our foot on that soil. And we are removed by every regard from that. But isn't it amazing what faith can do to connect to the truth of God and transcend the limitations of our eyes, our ears, and our hearts and bring us by faith into the very presence of God. Isn't that awesome? Give the Lord a hand clap. That's awesome. There's something to worship that when we come together and we lift our hearts to the Lord in one accord, as we come together in a divine conspiracy to praise and worship Him, something changes in the atmosphere. Something changes in our hearts. Hearts which seem to be distant from God, or feelings that didn't seem to be well in alignment. A mind which seemed to be racing 30 different directions. When other agendas seem to be competing, there just seems to come moments in worship, in moments of encounter with God, when all of a sudden time, as it were, stands still and we become aware of something we were not aware of before. Something begins to stir in our heart that we've not experienced before. Faith begins to rise up. And through the simplicity of the Word of God, that seed, there is something that lights upon our heart. And when it does, it has the power and the capacity to change our lives forever. Jesus comes to a man by the name of Nicodemus who knows the Bible. He teaches the Old Testament scriptures. They didn't have a New Testament then. He taught the prophets. He knew the Torah. He knew all of the rabbinic sayings. He knew what traditions had existed in the history of Israel. He was an expert in the law. And the evening time was invested in asking questions and exploring topics. And in that moment, Jesus comes to Nicodemus, or Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night during this time of questioning, and he's trying to put it all together, and he's saying, basically, I'm confronted with a mystery. Here you are. You've appeared on the scene. You are doing the most spectacular, amazing things that any prophet has ever done. A lot of people don't know what to do with you. And all I know is that you could not be doing this unless God is with you. Now, Jesus begins to challenge his heart. And when he begins to challenge his heart, he says, except a man is what? Born again. Born from above. Born of the Spirit. He cannot see. What's the fastest speed? It's something that we can see, the speed of light. Jesus knows what he's talking about. He knows what he's talking about. He says, unless a man is born again, what a dilemma. This is how vital it is that a person be born again. We live in a world that says it should be good enough if a person knows there's a God. It should be enough if a person practices their form of preferred religion. It should be enough if they just try to be good in relationship to other people. They all have these ideas. These are religious ideas. And Jesus walks into a religious environment to a person who is a leader of a religious group. And he says to him, that's not enough. Wow. We're living in a culture today, folks, that really needs to get back to the simplicity that except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Cannot see it. Now, I'm actually advocating that you have mercy, extreme mercy on people who are unconverted. Okay? You don't expect unconverted people to get it. You just don't. And you know what? Churchianity and churchese doesn't fly either because they don't understand what all those words mean. But if they can see the grace of God operating in your life, and if they can catch a glimpse of what a submitted, Christ-centered, unselfish life looks like, and the grace of God mantling the believer, if they can witness that, if they can see that, you've just now provided for them a seed that the Holy Spirit can use. Now, there are those that would say we shouldn't speak. In fact, there's a parable or a proverb that says, preach the gospel always and when necessary, use words. I understand that. I really do understand, but I'm afraid of us. Some of us go, good, I just have to live for the Lord and don't say nothing. No. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. He didn't say faith comes by seeing. Faith comes by hearing. And so we live a life mantled in all of its imperfections, covered up by the mercy and the grace of God, distributing the agape of God in tangible activities in people's lives, demonstrating the fact that we love them, that Jesus loves them, and God has a plan for their life. And they first of all need to see something. They need to see the difference between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of earth. They're not going to be quite sure what that is. They're going to think it's just weird. Right? But you know what? My grandpa, according to my dad, who's the official historian of our family, my grandpa was in the hills of West Virginia pulling electrical wire into log cabins and lean-tos. And those people thought he was a magician. And he didn't mind not telling he wasn't. And he could flip a switch and the darkness was banished from their house all night long. He was magic. They saw it. It's something that they could see. But it doesn't stop there. We allow this transcendent grace of God, this amazing love of God to be demonstrated in our life, and we realize that we are His hands extended. We are the people who have to demonstrate that we're living in the kingdom. He says, except a man is born again, he can't see the kingdom. He can't see it. He can see you, but he can't see the kingdom of heaven. It's just weird. It's magic. It's electricity. They don't understand. They don't connect the dots. And so, you know what? Just take a deep breath and just kind of release and go, I don't have to expect them to get it. Wow, that's off my shoulders. But, secondly, the speed of sound. How shall they hear except there's a preacher? And how will he preach unless he's sent? And how will he send? How beautiful are the feet of him on the mountains are the feet of them who bring good news. So what's the next step? What's Jesus doing? He's already demonstrating by activity what Nicodemus could see. What's the subtext here? Nicodemus is saying, we've been watching what you're doing and we have seen what you have done. And at the speed of light, we're confronted with this idea that something's going on we didn't anticipate. And some of us think you're a demon or a devil and you're doing it by the power of the devil. But some of us are saying the devil can't do anything this good. opening blind eyes, setting people free, lifting depression off of people, transforming and changing hopelessness into hope, despair into an elation that they're in connection with God, dead people to life. The devil doesn't do that. We need to be a people that have something that demonstrates the grace of God so that at the speed of light, people may see. Sometimes it's a smile. Sometimes it's a transformation that we're glad to see them. That their God has put something into our heart that they can physically get the message and see God is in them of a truth. Wonder what that means, they say. Now, Jesus says, except a man is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Entrance. And he's speaking this to Nicodemus. Three times he goes to say, you have to see, hear, and understand. There has to be a transformation that comes to you, but it comes even though you have eyes, you don't see. Isn't that frustrating? Have you ever been around somebody? My wife has never experienced this in her marriage, but I think there's some other women here can testify to this. The amazing capacity of a man to look in a cupboard with less than 20 things and not see the items she's talking about. It's a Star Trek cloaking device that she has in her purse. And she cloaks that colander sitting plainly on the second shelf and says, can you reach me that colander right there? Where? I don't see it. Probably because in my heart I'm thinking, she's wanting me to do something with that colander. I can do things with a power drill and a power saw and a golf club. But man, these hands just are not good with a colander. I don't want to see that dish towel over there because I suspect this is going to be some bonding time by the sink. And so what's going on in my heart has a tendency to plug my ears and mask my eyes. I just can't see it. So we have the Word of God that comes to us. They just can't see it. They just can't see it, folks. They can't. They can see us. They just can't see Him. And if we're struggling with the God who is there, what are they doing? No clue. So he says, he's pointing out there's a speed of sound. He himself is testifying to Nicodemus, a teacher of Israel. And during this question and answer period, he stresses to him, except a man is born again. Except a man is born again. Except a man is born from above. Except a man is born from above. Nicodemus is answering like this. What colander on what shelf? How can a man enter into his mother's womb and be born over again? No, Jesus is pointing to something very powerful. I want to refer, we read it, and you might be wondering why we read it. There's one other reason that I read the second chapter of Genesis. But I want to take you to this picture. In this picture, God has formed man. And now he's taken this man that he has formed, and what has he done? What makes man different? What makes humanity different from all of God's creation? That God himself breathed into him the breath of life. In the Hebrew, ruach, the sound of the exhalation of God. Just think of that. We are different. We are unique. We are humanity because we are made in the image of God, and God himself has breathed life into us. We are not evolved. We didn't come out of some primordial ooze and creep upon the ground, say this would be a good place to walk around and stop acting like an ape. No. Something powerful done in the timeline of God. He takes this dirt, this earth, he forms it, and he breathes. The Ruach of God breathes into this man and he becomes a living being. Now God had warned them, in the day that you eat thereof, of that tree, you shall surely die. Your life and life-giving source is going to be cut off from you. and having eyes that were intended to see, and ears who were intended to hear, and a heart that was intended to understand, it will now become callous, they will now become blind, you will now become deaf, and you will live life according to what you know and see and understand and hear. And you will be separated from me. What a horrible story. But you know, that story continues to today. We're surrounded by people who are separated from God. And His heart, His desire, is that none should perish, but that all would come to repentance. That all would have a moment when they see Him at the speed of light, when they hear Him at the speed of sound, and when they respond to Him at the speed of comprehension, and His Word lodges in their heart, and they come to that simplicity of the gospel of Christ and say, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and that He took my beating and my punishment, that He is the express evidence of the love of God. And that if I will accept that and receive that, though I don't completely comprehend it yet, I will be born again. I will be reset to the very place that Adam was before he fell. I will be no longer dead and separated by trespasses and sins, but I will be alive. And Jesus, didn't He say, He whom the Son has set free is free indeed? And didn't He declare, I am He who was once dead, but now am alive forevermore? Give the Lord a hand clap this morning. The speed of light, the speed of sound, the speed of comprehension. Now as we're seated here, I want to take us to a closing word of prayer. So right where you are, if you just close yourself in with the Lord. And I have this question for myself and for all of you. Not all of these questions, but one basic question I want to ask you this morning is, have you been born again? Have you been made alive once more? Have you entered in or begun your entrance into the kingdom of heaven? If you're seated here this morning and you say, Pastor, I've been born again. I've come in faith to Jesus and I have been made alive again by the Spirit of God. I'm not perfect, but I've been born again. If that's you, just raise a hand where you are. Some of you are expecting me to ask if you haven't been. But if you have, just raise your hand right where you are. You've been born again. If you were not able to raise your hand, I can encourage you that right where you are, right now in the place that you are, you can come to a moment of faith at the speed of the Spirit in your heart in transformation. And you can say, Lord, I don't understand it all. I haven't studied enough. I don't know the whole Bible and all of history, but something's ringing in my spirit. Something says that something's going on here that's more, just like Nicodemus. We don't understand it, but something spectacular is going on. Something divine is going on. Something above me, beyond me. Something I can't comprehend and totally grasp. That I want to receive of the work of the Spirit. If that's you and you just want to say, I just want to receive the work of the Spirit in my life. And I want to say yes to the movement of the Spirit of God. I don't understand it all, but I just feel like I need to respond that way. Could you just raise a hand right where you're seated? I just need to respond to that work of the Spirit. I'm going to pause a moment right there for you to do that if you'd like to. I want to respond to that work of the Spirit. I'm going to ask everyone to just stand to your feet. And we want to close in prayer this way. Just think for a moment. You've had an opportunity to sit there and kind of focus in. You have a little bit of frustration because you feel like there's things you should be seeing, but you're not seeing them. There's things that you should be hearing, but the speed of sound just seems so slow. And you need the Lord to touch your spiritual ear and help you to hear. You need the Lord to touch your spiritual eyes and say, Lord, would you help me? You're the opener of eyes. You're the one that can help me get into that speed of sight. You can help me get into that speed of sound. And then thirdly, probably the most frustrating point that many of us live at. Lord, I have a heart to understand, but I'm just not getting it. And I need the work of the Spirit. I recognize that I can study from now till the cows come home and I won't get it. It's good that I'm studying, but I need the paraclete. I need the help of the Spirit to help me to understand. Lord Jesus, I don't want to be that person that you can say, having eyes to see, they see not. Having ears to hear, they don't hear. And having a heart, they don't understand. And what was spoken of Isaiah is fulfilled in them. Lord, we don't want that said of us. We want you to smile as you look at us and say, they have eyes to see and they're getting a clearer vision every day. They have ears to hear and they're hearing more carefully and more consistently every day. My sheep know my voice and they respond. They have a heart and their heart is not hardened or calloused, but the doors are thrown open wide. And they're beginning to understand. They're beginning to comprehend. And they are blessed because the Spirit of God is revealing to them. So, Lord, we pray over our eyes. We pray over our ears. We pray over our hearts. And we ask, Spirit of the living God, you were present when God breathed Ruach into the lungs of man the first time, and he came alive. We're asking for you to breathe upon us. Breathe upon us. Move upon us. Settle upon us. And take these eyes and open them. Take these ears and open them. Speak to them, Ephrath, be opened. Anoint these eyes with miry clay and speak to us and send us to that pool of Siloam and let them be open. And Lord, by your grace and your mercy, settle in upon our souls, upon our hearts, and let's deal with the hardnesses. Let's deal with the stiffness and work that oil into us. Work your presence into us so that we have a heart that understands, that we get it, that we're anointed, that we're blessed. We can see it, we can hear it, we can understand it, and our heart is lifted up and we rejoice and our heart is strengthened and we take courage and we stand and we walk with you. Lord, we just invite you, Holy Spirit, come upon our lives at the speed of light, at the speed of sound, and at the speed of enhanced comprehension, we pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. The Lord bless you as you go. There'll be some of us out in the lobby. We'd love to get to meet you. We didn't have the privilege of meeting you yet if you're a visitor this morning, and we'd just love to hug your neck or shake your hand.